Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a pink one and a green one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same.
Welcome to another College Crosscast Little Boxes Project episode. This is the third one of our Levittown lacrosse-centric podcast done by me, Ryan McDonald. I'm your host for this one. And this one's a little bit different because, I don't know, I've only hyped it up for about a year and a half waiting for the following guest to come on. But at last, it's the Women's Lacrosse Podcast Special! The episode you never thought was going to drop at this rate is finally here! Almost a year and a half of hyping up this episode that nobody thought was actually going to be made. I think the women's lacrosse community probably wanted to kill me for hyping up this up without actually doing it. But alas, we're finally doing it. Because my following guest finally had a little bit of an opening on her very busy schedule. And we hope that this one won't disappoint you at all. Joining me tonight is former Boston College star Lauren Costello. Now, Lauren is, I'm not even exaggerating this, an absolute legend as a Boston College Eagle. She set many offensive records during her time there in BC as part of the team from 2007 to 2010. And, of course, the Eagles now made it to their first national championship game this past season on more or less home field at Gillette Stadium. In this episode, we talk about her time there at BC, as well as her time before playing at Holy Trinity High School, the Catholic school in Hicksville, as well as some tidbits on her post-collegiate life. And we have quite a bit of fun along the way, because you'll soon find out she's a very fun girl to be around. So, hope you enjoy this one. I hope it lives up to the hype, because I've kind of been pushing this for months. So, see how it goes. But without further ado, you've waited so many months for this one to come. Let's have this interview with Lauren Costello. And joining us now, it's been months in the making, and we're so happy to have you on, Miss Lauren Costello. Thanks for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Welcome. I'm not going to be exaggerating by saying I've been hyping this up for quite a while on the podcast, because I thought eventually you would join on, and eventually did.
I'm sorry about that. I've been a little bit busy, but I'm glad we were able to make it happen.
Yep. So, first off, you are officially the first women's lacrosse player to be on the podcast. We did have help from Coach Holman's daughter to set us up for a podcast a couple months ago. She played at UNC, but you're the first one to actually be officially on the podcast. So, congratulations.
Thank you.
So we'd like to start off these interviews with a little bit of This Is Your Life. So, first just tell us a little bit about yourself and, also a little bit about how you got into lacrosse.
Sure. So I grew up in Levittown, the same, town as you, obviously. So I'm the oldest of four girls. We always grew up like very much into sports. And I got involved with lacrosse. A girl named Erin Garvey, actually, she and her dad, she ended up going to play on at Yale. But she was always, my mom actually coached her in basketball. And then she, when she got older, got me involved in lacrosse. And so I have them to thank for, they introduced me to the sport probably when I was in like third grade. So she was always a role model growing up for me.
And then it just stuck ever since on lacrosse?
Yeah, I was just like, I really enjoyed it. I was also like very much into basketball growing up, but there were different seasons, so it worked out.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Now, playing through middle school and everything, you went to Holy Trinity High School, the Catholic school in Hicksville, right on the Levittown border. So I guess making that transition to, you know, from a public middle school to a Catholic school, was it a little bit of an adjustment for you, you know, having to have new teammates and everything playing and making new friends and stuff like that?
Yeah, seems like a long time ago now, but I remember at the time as an eighth grader, it seemed like a big adjustment, but looking back, I'm so fortunate that I made that decision because I'm still very close with all my Levittown friends, and I gained, you know, a whole bunch of Trinity friends, and they kind of came from all over Nassau County, so I was able to branch out, and I think the level of sports was definitely higher. I mean, our basketball team, we went to the States, we won States, I got to play with All-Americans in high school, so I really just got, I got a lot of experience, so it was a good thing. Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of your lacrosse career at Holy Trinity, you were one of their big stars on as a Lady Titan. So, what were some of your favorite memories back in high school playing for the Titans?
I would have to say a game that sticks out for me is my sophomore year. We beat St. Anthony's in the finals at Hofstra, which was huge at the time. I mean, St. Anthony's was like, we had never beaten them, so it was awesome. And to play at Hofstra at that time seemed really cool.
Any favorite teammates from your high school days? You can say all of them, so there is cheating allowed.
Perfect. yeah, I mean, each different team had like different girls. Girls that I'm still close with is Ange and Claire. I mean, I was in Claire's wedding last year, and Ange is still one of my great friends and people that I wouldn't have met if we didn't play lacrosse together.
Now, as you became lacrosse star, if you will, there at Trinity, and you started getting recruiting attention, you probably had a difficult decision to make because you were also very good at basketball at Holy Trinity. So, during your recruiting process, was there one thing that made you go into more in the lacrosse direction than the basketball direction? Were you getting interest on the basketball end too, or to make it an easy choice for lacrosse, or was it a difficult choice having to choose between the two?
Right. I would say I was getting some interest in basketball, but I was getting much more in lacrosse, so the decision kind of made itself at the end. I think to be able to get recruited in basketball is more difficult to be able to go to also a good academic institution, just because everyone across the country plays basketball. It's super competitive, where lacrosse, Long Island is obviously, and even more so back then, was like a hot spot for lacrosse. So I feel like I had the advantage of starting young when I was in third grade. So more opportunities came about from lacrosse, which worked out.
And then during that recruiting process, you eventually settled on Boston College. So how did you choose going in, to Boston College? What made you decide to become an Eagle?
I remember when I went there, I just fell in love with the campus. The girls, Boston College is a great school. I mean, it's right outside of Boston, which is a college town. It's a great academic institution. They offered a lot of different majors. The campus was absolutely beautiful. And I remember when I went there, the girls on the team, I could already tell that they had like a close bond. They seemed similar to me. They looked out for one another, and they definitely knew how to have fun. So I knew I wanted to be a part of something like that. Also, they were not in the top 20 at that point. So I remember the coach sold me on, this is a place where you can go and you can make a difference. You're going to start playing right away. And you can be part of the process of building a tradition, which I found interesting at the time.
Mm-hmm. So then at your time at Boston College, we'll talk about some of your favorite memories of there. First, just in general, just the being the program, your coaches, you know, looking back on your time, what were some things that stuck out on them before we get into, you know, favorite game and other categories like that?
Right. I think now that it's been some years, when I look back at it, I don't think of the games really or the practices. I think of the little things, you know, like in the locker rooms or hanging out or in the dorms or going out or whatever it might be, and just the friendships and all, like, the little memories that I was fortunate to have because I was a part of the lacrosse team. So just nice that lacrosse gave me so many more friendships and relationships and connections to people that I wouldn't have had.
Mm-hmm. I know you just said you don't really remember the games that much, but was there any in particular that stick out to you as your favorite?
Yeah, definitely. I remember, I believe it was my sophomore or my junior year, we were ranked 42nd in the country, and we beat UNC, who was ranked 7th at the time, so that was huge for us. That was our first ACC win that was not Virginia Tech, so that was really big for us. It was big for the program. It was exciting. I remember actually that game very, very clearly.
On the flip side, was there any that you look back and just wince at, like, as a heartbreaker?
I remember one time we went down to Maryland, who was, I believe, ranked number one in the country at that time, and we ended up losing. It was like, I remember the game was 8-7, but even though we lost, it still felt like we accomplished something, because finally we were able to hang with some of these big-time programs, which was nice. Mm-hmm.
Did you have a favorite road venue at all? Besides playing at BC, obviously, you know, you love your own stadium and everything, but what were some of your favorite away venues that you traveled to?
Even though it was right down the street, I always loved playing at Boston University. I felt like there was a good rivalry there. It was close enough that all our friends and family always came to that game, so that was always fun. And then we got to go out to California. Stanford was absolutely beautiful. So those are two that stick out in my head.
Mm-hmm. And once again, you could cheat and say all of them, but do you have any favorite teammates from your time at BC? Any lifelong friends you made along the way and stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, so many of them stand out. I feel so lucky to have made such good friends throughout my time at BC. Girls in my grade that, like, specifically stand out. Mary, I'm going to be a bridesmaid in her wedding on Friday, and my good friend Blair will also be there. So looking forward to having a good time with them.
And now, looking back at your career at BC, I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say you probably are one of the more prolific Eagles of all time in women's lacrosse. Right now, you're 4th overall in career points, 5th in goals, 3rd in assists, and this is after, you know, a couple players after you supplanted you. You have a couple other individual records and everything. Now, looking at where Boston College is now, this year they made their first Final Four and made it to their first national title game in Foxborough, and hung tough with Maryland as well in the national title game. You know, looking back at where the program was when you were there and you kind of set the standard to where it is now, where they're a final two team, and now becoming a national power, how much of a sense of accomplishment do you have of, you know, kind of thinking that you kind of helped set this in motion with you and your teammates to what the program is now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm so proud. I'm so proud of the team that Acacia has built and Jen. I mean, unfortunately, I wasn't able to get up to Foxborough because that was my holiday to work. But I sat at work and I live streamed the thing. All the other nurses were kind of covering in for me and stuff. But, I mean, I was so proud. I couldn't believe that they were finally at this level. And it was so amazing to see that our program has come so far in such a short amount of time. So it was awesome to see. I mean, even the level of play now is just a totally different level. They're phenomenal. And I know how hard we worked when we were there, so I can only imagine what they're doing now. So it's definitely their hard work is paying off, and it totally shows. So
now we're going to take a brief digression from your your story, and talking about, because this is also doubling as the Women's Lacrosse Podcast special that we've been trying to do since last May, more or less. So the state of the game, one of the big things about this past season in women's lacrosse is the new rules to speed it up, the shot clock, and now this upcoming season we're going to see stoppages and plays, more free movement after the whistle. So how do you feel about the, you know, major overhaul where, you know, a sport that's kind of been in the same place in terms of rules has really gotten really progressive in terms of trying to improve the speed of the game and try to increase offense? Are you in favor or are you a bit against it?
Oh, I'm definitely in favor. I think that and I'm so happy that this is finally all happening. I mean, I remember when I started playing, you didn't need to wear goggles, and there was no boundaries, which is like, sounds insane to even have a sport that doesn't have boundaries. If you overthrew the ball, you would just run or if you started running away from the goals, the ref would just blow the whistle and basically tell you just to come back into play. It was like the most bizarre thing. So I remember that being like a very interesting rule change when they made boundaries. So then people's stick skills had to get better. You know, you couldn't just rely on the person who's fastest to go run after the ball. And then with the whole shot clock, I think that's great. And that needed to happen. It just makes it more enjoyable to watch. I think it makes it more enjoyable to play. It's more scoring. There's more athleticism that goes on. There's more strategy and tactic. And I think it's great for the level of the play.
You would appreciate me 2012 championship game at Stony Brook, Syracuse Northwestern, how angry I got at Northwestern stalling.
Yeah.
Additionally, one of the big topics in women's lacrosse continues to be the helmet debate. You know, with concussions and CT becoming a hot button issue in sports, not just in lacrosse. We're starting to see a little bit of the some organizations allowing helmets, others not. Even in terms of goggles, it's still kind of all over the place. With the helmet debate, where do you stand and where do you see things going? Are you the type that says put the helmets on them, or you feel that the helmets are going to encourage a little bit too much shots to the head going forward?
So I think my initial reaction is no helmets. I think that it would change the game. This is my personal opinion. I think that it would make actually the game more rough. Right now, I like the distinction between men's and women's lacrosse. I think they're basically two separate games totally. And I think that the women's game, you need a lot more finesse, obviously, with no pockets in the stick. Your stick work has to be really on point. And I think if we add goggles, it's just going to add a whole new level of checking and body checks. And then it's like, where does it end, really? So that's my personal opinion. Like, if I was playing today, I definitely would not want to be wearing a helmet. On the flip side, I'm a nurse in the neuro ICU, and, you know, we see concussions all the time, not necessarily from lacrosse. I haven't seen any from lacrosse, but, you know, from accidents, and things do happen. So I do kind of see both sides of it.
Mm-hmm. And also the growth of women's lacrosse. Obviously, it's skyrocketed more than any other sport at the NCAA level to the levels it is at now in D1. But additionally, now we're seeing pro lacrosse, women's lacrosse leagues. In fact, we're going to have a second one doing their draft soon enough. So on the growth of this sport, you must be psyched about that, I'm guessing, too. And how do you see, with all these opportunities, you see the sport continuing to grow in participation and, you know, give more female athletes more opportunities by having more teams and more colleges add the sport?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it's great for the sport. I think it's great for little girls to look up to these U.S. teams and these pro teams. I mean, we didn't have that when I was growing up. We had the WNBA, which was new at the time, and I can remember my mom, you know, we'd go into the city after school and take the train and get their autographs, and it was always like a big thing, and I think little girls need that. They need role models, and they need people to look up to. So I think that this pro, I follow them on like Instagram and do a little like search, but it seems like these organizations are very pro little kids and growing the game, which is great. I mean, you see them giving autographs or running free clinics and camps and all that stuff. So I think it's awesome where the game is going.
All right. So back to your story. After you graduated BC, you actually did a little stint in England to do some coaching. So tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, it was great. Took a little break from the real world and went over to England. I was just south of London. I was placed in a school. I was basically like a gym teacher, and they called me like the lacrosse pro. So I would teach lacrosse all day, and then I also worked on the weekends at a lacrosse club trying to get the kids in school to join the club. And over there, it's like different. People play sports longer in life. You know, there would be like 30s, 40-year-olds that would come on Wednesday nights, and we would have like the adult league, and we'd play lacrosse, and then on the weekends we'd play local towns, which was, it was so much fun. It gave me, you know, a lot of people didn't know what lacrosse was over there. I remember one time I got asked if my stick was a fishing rod on the jersey station. But it was great. It opened like my eyes to, you know, all of Europe. We got to backpack and do a lot of fun things. And for them, I think it was cool too. The kids, like, for, because usually, you know, they're used to playing soccer and netball. But we brought in lacrosse, and I would bring uniforms over there. And actually, two of the girls came and visited me here. I met up with them in the city, and it was a great experience.
Now that you're all done with your collegiate career, what have you been up to now, and are you still involved in the lacrosse community? Do you still do some coaching? This is where you can kind of hype up your career path and everything like that.
Yeah, so when I came back from England, I went back and did another undergraduate degree in nursing, and I just finished my master's for my nurse practitioner. So currently going to start the job search. I work right now at New York Presbyterian at Cornell. I'm in their neuro ICU, like I said. And so it's been a very rewarding experience. I've learned a lot. Looking to like make a career change now and use my master's degree. But it's all been exciting stuff. And then as far as lacrosse, I was coaching with the program Liberty out of Manhasset for a while after college, but when I started going back to school, it just got to be a little too much. But definitely looking forward to getting back into coaching. I still do some like private lessons and clinics, but definitely something that I miss. And now that school's done, I'm looking forward to getting more back into it as my time allows.
Mm-hmm. Now we'll get into the fun stuff, the personal stuff. First off, you Costellas are a very athletic family, let's put it at that, you and your three sisters. So I came up with this one. Given that you guys were all very good at volleyball, basketball, and lacrosse, we have a Sophie's Choice here. If you had to choose one sister to play each in one of those three sports, who would you choose for each? Because I know that all three of them are listening to this podcast and want you to hype them up. And argue exactly over who you're choosing.
Well, I would have to say you threw a softball at me, because that's kind of easy, because there's three of them and there's three sports and they all happen to be good at one of those. Definitely Caitlin for basketball. She's like tough as nails. Always hated playing one-on-one against her. Kristen, I could use her height in volleyball. She also has the longest limbs of the crew, so she's definitely good at blocks and spiking. And then Baby Jewel for lacrosse. I used to drag her to lessons and help me coach and stuff, and so definitely her for lacrosse.
Alrighty, some other fun facts. What was your number, and why did you choose that?
I was number 11, and I don't know, I guess I kind of just always liked the number. I started as a ninth grader, in basketball, it became available, so I took that number, and then I just used it for every sport, and then luckily it became available, at BC, so I had it for like 8 years, which was nice.
I think if we did a, as a brief aside, if we had to go by high school girls across goals by people who wore the number 11 in Levittown, between you, Jenna Davis, Justine Rother, and College of Farmingdale, that number 11 must have, like, racked up God knows how many goals in that time. 11's a goal scorer's number in Levittown is what we're getting at here, at least on the girls lacrosse end.
Nice. I didn't even know that. No.
I am such a wizard at useless information, as you can tell. did you have any nicknames as a player?
People called me Cass, and we had two Laurens on the team in college, and then actually went from C-O-Z in high school to C-O-S in college, so.
I feel like most of your family just has the nickname Cause. Like, whenever we say Cause in my grade, it's for your sister Caitlin, so I'm guessing older, they called you Cause, so.
Right.
Depends on the grade. We call you Lauren. Because your sister's Cause. In terms of entertainment stuff, actually first, do you have any fun hobbies? Any favorite hobbies that you like to do?
Hobbies. I would say I like to travel. I just got back from Croatia not too long ago. And I, like we were talking about before, working in England, that really opened my eyes up to, you know, part of the world and just to be able to see how other people live and that traveling is very accessible if you want it to be. And then other hobbies, I would say, hanging out with my family, friends, going to the beach, just the normal stuff, I would say.
Now on to the fun entertainment stuff. First, favorite non-BC sports teams? I forgot to ask this question with the first two interviews, and I kind of regret it, but other favorite sports teams besides your alma mater?
Huh. I don't really watch too many sports, I must say, but I do enjoy going to football games. So I would maybe say the Giants, even though I don't closely follow them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any TV shows that stick out as your favorites?
Ooh, this is a bad question for me. I'm moving and I'm debating if I even need a TV because I never turn the TV on. So I get made fun of all the time. Like, I don't know movies or I don't know TVs, so.
All right, so no. Skip the movie question, too. How about favorite books? Do you do any reading?
Books, yeah. I do some reading. I just read When Breath Becomes Air. So that's, like, in my head now. I don't know if you've read it, but it's awesome. It's about a doctor who gets cancer, and it sounds sad, but it's actually a good life story about taking a step back and, you know, being thankful for what you have.
Now there's, okay, so if those are the things we're washes, we have the music portion of the show for our Spotify playlist. This will be the good part. So yeah, do you have like five songs for the playlist to add on?
Five songs for the playlist? Oh man. I'm a big Lumineers fan. I listen to them, so you could throw some of their songs on. I like Mumford too.
Mm-hmm. Any other favorite acts?
I like Fleetwood Mac. Lumineers. Those are my go-to on Pandora.
Mm-hmm. And of course, what we have to add, you know exactly what song we have to add.
La Bamba.
Yes. Okay, so funny story with this one. Back in 11th grade, we had this digital media class, which was like video editing or whatever. And for guys like me, it was like the easiest class ever. It's like, okay, yeah, because we have to do like these assignments where it's like you're required to do all certain different things by the teacher for, you know, people that have no idea how to use video editing software, no idea, yada, yada. So the project was music video. So, Tom Scalia and John Nasinski were my partners on projects. We're just like, all right, let's just have McD dance to music. It was apparently a huge hit, And then my friend Pat Gilbert added it to YouTube and became a Levittown viral sensation, so much to the point that it reached Trinity, and the Costello family loved it so much that eventually Caitlin went to the senior prom with me because of it. The one that they loved the most was La Bamba. So,
you know that one you would date to the senior prom. This is good information to know. And I can't listen to that song without thinking of you.
I'm half joking with the senior prom thing, but yeah, your family loved that and played it over and over again. Thankfully, the somebody threw a copyright claim on it on YouTube, so I won't link it, so the rest of the internet will not be embarrassed by this. So I will not be embarrassed by the rest of the internet. I will just be haunted in my dreams that it went all around Levittown.
Is it not floating around there in the internet world anymore?
I don't think so. I think it got a copyright hit, so
it is
forever lost in Levittown internet lore. but otherwise, any last thoughts?
No. Thank you for taking your time. This has been very fun.
Well, thank you, too, and thanks for hopping along on the Little Boxes Project at College Crosscast.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ryan.
Well, we hope that you enjoyed the Women's Lacrosse Podcast special and also the third episode of the Little Boxes Project. As the summer of content continues to roll on, we'll continue to have more of these episodes and more Crosscast specials as well as time goes on, so be on the lookout periodically for those. If you want to follow us, @college_cross is our Twitter handle. Mine is @RyanMcD29. You can also follow us on Instagram, @college_cross, as well as our Facebook page. You can subscribe to College Crosscast on iTunes and Google Play. That'll include Little Boxes Project episodes as well. So once again, we'd like to thank former Boston College attackman Lauren Costello for joining on board. Hope that you guys enjoyed this one, and hope it was worth the hype as well, because I know I've been pushing it for quite a bit. But thank you so much, Lauren, for joining us and finding some time to have it. And again, if you're a Levittown lacrosse player and like to hop on board, you probably know how to contact me, so just let me know. But otherwise, we'll have another episode pretty soon as the summer continues to wear on, getting some more and more people on board for this as I see them throughout the summer. So stay tuned. Otherwise, hope you enjoyed this episode and subscribe to listen to some more. Thank you, and we'll see you the next time we see you. And remember, because it is the summer, stay hydrated.